Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and with me is my co-host, Dr. Matt Polacek. It's another beautiful day here in Southern California, and we've got a great show for you.
I agree. Today's show is a must listen. And for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, thank you so much.
And please continue to help spread the word that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring you special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases, entertain.
While bringing answers and options to making your lives happier, healthier, and more successful.
Now, this show will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more.
We'll introduce you to talented authors and new innovations in the areas of health, security, and fun for you and your family.
And with our experience working with families in crisis, we've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields who are all working to make this world a better place for all of us. So, Matt, how was your weekend?
Alan, things couldn't be better. My in-laws came in town, and it's always really nice to have them. I lost my dad about 3 or 4 years ago, and I was always close with my in-laws. But I think over the last 3 to 4 years, my father-in-law in particular, we've really, really, our relationship has blossomed and grown. And having him in my life, it's really a blessing. I love him and my mother-in-law so much. So it's great to have them. And one of the advantages of when they come in town is my father-in-law and wife share a love for the TV shows like Dateline and 2020, the shows where people are being killed and kidnapped and all these truly horrible things. And so our TVs at night are covered with those shows. And when I was thinking about coming on the show today, it reminded me that these kind of monstrosities that I watch on television are really a reality for you in the work you do. And so what's happening with your work and with West Shield and where you're at?
Well, I'm sort of torn because the initial thought is that when you said, you know, I see killings and kidnappings and horrible stuff, and then you went, and I thought about you.
My resident. Yeah.
So, well, I know what you mean, and I know that you're more interested in the fact that that's what West Shield does. And, you know, I'm really pleased to say that, you know, that sometimes individual cases, you know, I don't focus on just them because we do lots. But, you know, we had an individual case in which we rescued a girl who had been living on the streets for about 2 weeks. Mm. And sometimes when you rescue someone like that, they're somewhat combative or they're so high that they don't know how to respond. And this was actually a girl who was relieved. You know, it was, you know, when we picked her up and we told her where she was going, she just took a big sigh of relief, and you could tell that this was now something to where she realized that, you know, her parents loved her. She realized that family meant a lot to her, and that it's something she wanted to work towards getting back to. So it was actually very, very rewarding for me. And I know another case that we did that I felt very proud of was we safely transported an autistic boy to a specialized program that many had said was not possible on a commercial flight.
Wow. Well, you train, you know, your staff is so well versed and trained in their ability to use psychology and the way they relate. It's evolved that field, I feel like, and you guys are really on the cutting edge of really bringing you know, good communication skills and the ability to, you know, I've seen you and you talk to people, you physically actually, you know, get on your knees and hands and knees and get down to their level and really communicate with them. So the world is lucky to have you.
Well, I appreciate that. But, you know, Matt, kind of enough about me right now, because I want to let you know that I have gotten so much positive feedback since you've joined the show. And as I've talked about on the show, I do a lot of my studying at the gym. You know, so I have people that come up to me and ask me, you know, hey, you know, who's on your show next? Because they'll see a book there or something. And I've gotten so much positive feedback. People, you know, walk up and go, hey, I want to tell you this, you know, this Dr. Matt guy that you've got, you know, I can tell that you guys really sound like you're having fun. So I really, I just want to thank you for that and just let you know how grateful I am, because you've really made the show more fun to do and you've added so much knowledge and insight. So, you know, with that said, tell me, I mean, what do you think the best part of being on Answers for the Family has been for you?
Well, I think, you know, working with you, Alan, first and foremost, you know, and there's a special kind of culture out there of people, and I've seen it a lot at Betty Ford and in the addiction field, of what we call be of service people, and people who know Bill W. and his books would, or in his book, would understand that. But there's something about the guests that we have on, and really bringing love, care for other people, and knowledge. And for me, the big kind of points that I've learned over the last 6 months being here with you is a lot of self-care stuff, a lot of stuff, understanding how diet and how, you know, how diet affects our life, and how we can communicate differently, and learning to kind of be a better parent, to be a better colleague, and most importantly, a better person. The other really nice thing that I've learned over the last, I guess, few years, and has kind of been emphasized over the last few months, is really understanding just, you know, simply how our breath and how breathing and being able to kind of control our nervous system really can control and affect our behavior. And when I say that, without getting too sciencey, you know, we can look at the nervous system as having two parts, the parasympathetic system and the sympathetic. The parasympathetic is when we're in that kind of relaxed state and our brain is really operating differently than like an animal brain. The sympathetic side of it would be more, you know, when you're in that fight or flight mode. And what we're learning through science and through our guests on the show really is, when we're in that parasympathetic state, we can think a lot more critical. Our prefrontal cortex, which is where we do a lot of our executive functioning, there's a lot more activity in the brain in that area. And so it's so simple when you think about just traditional easy breathing exercises. And I hate to minimize the effects of it, because it's huge. And I've learned through just simple breathing techniques, where we're looking at deep kind of diamorphic breathing, which is basically, you know, you're taking in an inhale breath and you're breathing in and then you're breathing out. And a lot of the new research shows that breathing out should be a little bit longer. But at any rate, the idea of just simply breathing and being more kind of attuned and being present and in the moment, it has made an incredible difference in my professional life, my personal life. And, you know, I do have a lot to learn about meditation and breathing. And that's why I'm very thankful that our guest today can hopefully answer some of my questions, as well as our listeners' questions. Our guest today is Jackie Parker. And she's been teaching meditation and yoga for over 7 years. She's also an award-winning writer.
And yes, Jackie has written a best-selling young adult novel, Love Letters to My Fans. She is also an award-winning poet and writes for the Huffington Post.
Along with all of her work as an author, Jackie leads transformational workshops called The Power of Our Stories, in which she integrates creativity, stories, with meditation for women and teenage girls.
And Jackie is also a farmer, a teacher, a radio guest host. Is there anything that she doesn't do? Well, without any further delay, let's welcome our Jackie of all trades to Answers for the Family.
Thank you so much. I have to laugh because I have a great big pumpkin growing in my garden. So we can start with that. That's pretty funny. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's so wonderful to listen to what you're talking about. And even from the first words you're talking about, I resonate so deeply with your life and with the work. To talk about seeing killings and kidnappings and horrible things, which is what we are so exposed to through the media almost all the time. How do our kids in particular, how are they going to be protected from this? You know, how do we protect ourselves from it? It's really a big question today. And it's interesting that I came to meditation, which I've been practicing for 16 years, through writing. I was trying to write a novel that took me 10 years to write. I could not figure it out. And in the course of writing it, and that actually the book finally came out 2 years ago, it's called Our Lady of Infidelity, And it actually deals with some awful things, killings and kidnappings, that haunt this little girl through her life. I discovered meditation. I wasn't looking for meditation. I was looking for a way to relax and write a book. And it changed my life. It also changed my teaching. Because I start every class, no matter who is in it, and I work with all kinds of people. I work with boys and men and at-risk kids and psychologists and writers. I start the class with this: take a deep breath and hold it, and a long exhale. And then we start a five-minute breathing exercise. And at the end of that 5 minutes, the energy in the room is completely changed. I can't account for it. I think it's probably what you were talking about, the relaxed state of the parasympathetic system. People are so hungry for this. Even kids at risk, I'm amazed at it.
It's fascinated me, and I've noticed same thing, very similar experience of yours is when I would lead a group with adolescents. If you started with a 5 minute meditation or even a 2 minute something of a breathing exercise, the groups are much the kids can pay attention longer. They're much more attuned, and to me it gets us into a place where we can just function better. I noticed at my old job, I was in the car for 3-4 hours a day, and I would come home and I would walk in the door, and my wife and daughter were waiting for me, and my daughter would run up to me and ask me something, and my wife and both in positive, good places, but it would overwhelm me to a sense because I was just getting in the door. And what I noticed was if I could open up a bottle of sparkling water and put a little lime in it and spend 2 minutes having a glass of sparkling water and just breathing, I'm a much better husband, much better father, and I'm much more attuned. And it seems like such a hokey, simple thing, but there truly is something special in that 2 to 3 minutes of breathing.
Yeah. I think that we're getting such wonderful research now from neuroscientists all over the world, really, that show us that our brain is changing. I'm hoping that people are going to start to use meditation the way they use physical exercise for health. Because to be emotionally healthy, we really have to find a way to get out of that fear-based, anxiety-based system that runs our brains on this oversaturated culture. And I actually teach a class called Write Your Stress Away, and it's a 10-minute process. You sit and you breathe for 5 minutes, and then you write freely for 5 minutes without thinking. And I've taught people to do it in their cars before they walk into the house, or in their offices before they leave at the end of the day, because it sets them up in just the way you described.
And I like that, and I may want to take the class myself, because it sounds like something that would also help with writer's block.
Ah, writer's block. Okay.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Yes, it does help with writer's block. I think part of the reason that I got into doing workshops that are healing is because writing is so difficult, and it keeps sending you to this place of fear and performance anxiety and questions that you can't answer. And when you bring to the process of writing that deep let it go place, where you are actually going to the part of the brain that knows better than what we think of as our controlling brain, beautiful stories emerge. And that's really what the power of our stories is about. That workshop where I teach people a process for letting go into what you identified as the parasympathetic, relaxed state through meditation, and that 5 minute writing where they just say, let your hand write. You don't have to write it. Just move your hand. And that sets up, I think what writers call the muse. You open up to the deep parts of your story that you might be afraid to write about if you thought you were controlling it. And then what, and that works just for people who need to relax or even to get to know themselves better. If you do those practices regularly, 10 minutes a day, and then you start to read what's coming through your mind in those five-minute writings, it's often very surprising.
Well, you know, when you brought up the part in regards to the breathing, when I was a room dad, there was a kindergarten teacher that was really, it was one of the first times I had seen a teacher that really incorporated this into her class. And it was so beautiful because when she wanted to get all of the kids together, she was always focused on something that was very positive. But if there were some of the kids who were still having a little bit of anxiety or they were still, you know, fidgety or whatever, she'd say, okay, everybody, now we're going to do this really fun thing. We're going to see who can take the biggest breath in, and then we're going to let it out real slow. Okay, who can take the biggest breath? Let's all do it. One, two, three. And so she was incorporating this for the kids, but at the same time, she was making it fun. And all of a sudden, you would see the whole class would become more calm. They would become less fidgety. And then she'd say, okay, now, you know, now I'm going to read you a story or something. So, I mean, she was so ahead of her time that I just thought it was such a beautiful thing.
What a wonderful thing to witness with kindergarten kids, too. There's something on the internet that I just saw, photographs of children meditating, very young children in classrooms. Isn't that wonderful, the way it's starting to take hold? That makes me really happy.
And I think the great part is, you know, we can all, to get into that state, we can all go and do something relaxing, whether it's going to a spa or a massage or a nature park or whatever. But by teaching correct breathing, the big difference is from going from relaxation to regulation. And to be able to regulate, whether you're about to give a speech and you can do some breathing exercises, or you're about to go into a job interview, or really anything, not having to leave to get to that point, but to be able to stay in the same environment and regulate your breaths, to me, really is the best place we could go.
There are programs in prison that teach people in prison to meditate, and in those prisons, they found less violence. Isn't that interesting?
That's amazing.
Drug use. So I think a regular, if the best thing people can do for themselves is to just meditate in whatever way they need to, quietly breathing, doing it regularly, it really helps if you do it the same time of day, which is the same thing as writing. If you're a writer or you want to write something, there are so many reasons not to write. If you just put it into your day regularly and write for a little bit with almost a lack of expectation around your writing, just get the words down, and you do it regularly, you give the writing a chance to build. When I was working on Our Lady of Infidelity, 10 years, every time I finished a draft, some agent would love it and then give me a few suggestions, which would involve another year of writing. And this happened to me over and over again, maybe a seven-year process. And I had to keep doing it, but I really think that the meditation that I was doing allowed me to really enjoy the process and not to punish myself by thinking, oh my God, I failed again. And I feel like that combination of something going on in the brain that regulates your fear capacity and increases your prefrontal cortex, and the regularity of writing in a curious way. What's going to happen as I try to get to this next stage? And I've also seen this with children, and teenagers, and particularly kids in trouble, because I've worked with a lot of schools and groups of kids who you would think had nothing to say. When they're approached in this way, I always tell them how terrified I am of writing, and that, you know, they're going to be scared, but every writer is scared when they're writing. And we just start with breathing, and then that kind of free writing, any writer can use this. And then I give them a topic to write about that is kind of shaped. It is extraordinary what comes out on the page the first time with no instruction, nothing. So So I kind of believe that there are beautiful stories waiting in behind everybody, right? Just waiting to be let out onto the page. And that's actually why I call the workshop The Power of Our Stories, because these stories are powerful. They can open up doors inside ourselves, and they also reach other people. But that's a whole other question, which I'll save for a little later.
Oh, Jackie,
does this resonate with you as a reader?
Well, Jackie, I think that you're right on target, and even so much so that many of the programs that we take young people to have journaling over about the last 15, 20 years. Journaling has become so much more important for each one of these young people that go to these programs, to where they are not only learning breathing, they're not only learning mindfulness, but they're also involved in journaling so that they have something that they can write, feel good about. And it doesn't have to necessarily be that they're journaling about themselves or their own life. They can journal about anything they want. But many of these programs have figured out that there's a very therapeutic part to that that is now being used again in many, many programs.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that terrific? Yeah. There's James Pennebaker has done some amazing research. I think it's maybe 30 years now, about the therapeutic value of just simply writing, and particularly writing about painful events. So if that happens in a journal or even in a topic, that people can heal from it.
So I'm going to play the other side of it, make this a little more controversial for us, and I'm going to present a couple ideas, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. The one thing I hear about writing and journaling as a negative is people who have gone through traumatic events, writing about it and discussing it sometimes can be re-traumatizing. I personally, in the work I do, have been able to find a space where that actually is the opposite. What I believe in, and I'm excited to hear what you have to say, Jackie, is, and this does tie back to that parasympathetic state, and a lot of narrative therapists would agree with me, that if people are retelling their story in a parasympathetic state and in a relaxed state, it actually can recreate those pathways without the trauma connected to it. And so basically it's a healing process versus a re-traumatization. Although saying that, if you are, already agitated and retelling your story, I do see how that could be re-traumatizing. The kind of gist of this, though, is if you look at, for instance, the AA community, people telling their story is very healing. And obviously, you're a big proponent of writing, and I am too. I think the key to me really is that it's done in a way where, again, they're parasympathetic dominant and they're in a place where they can, kind of recreate these stories in a safe place.
I think this is a really important question, what is healing about telling the story, and what are the dangers about telling the same story over and over again? And what I developed to do in the workshops, in addition to the 5-minute meditation and the 5-minute writing, there's always a topic, and I stole the movement of a beautiful story for the writers, so that the topic always starts like this: tell a story of a moment in which, because what a writer does is build up to this important moment. And so it's not just it's almost never tell the story of your abuse or tell the story of a moment in which you're hurt. I always take a moment like this: tell the story of a moment that deserves to be honored. Tell the story of a moment in which you felt safe. Tell the story of a time when you gave something of yourself to someone without realizing it. Kind of tangential moments. And then I give them the same kind of tools that writers use. What was the weather like that day? Who was president? What were you doing at the time? A whole bunch of little bits to hit that end up taking the writer through the sensory moment-by-moment experience of that time. And it always ends by this: what did you realize in the moment? Mm. Or what did you not realize in that moment that you realize now? So what they're doing is taking a cognitive loop through an experience in which they may have been a victim when they were experiencing it, but as a writer, you're in control of the material. And it shifts people's relationship to what happened. And by the way, I did this without knowing what I was doing. I later learned, because of therapists who were in the workshop, that this was healing. I was just using techniques that writers use to get really good writing down. So I think that's how I kind of make peace with not wanting to people to be victimized or re-traumatized or be going through the same loop of feeling the hurt without any way to handle it.
Well,
and then there's one more step, and this is the part that brings in community, and this is the part that I almost feel the most delighted, really happy about. I teach people how to listen to the writing. I give them a little piece of paper that says these five words. Tell the writer whatever you heard in their writing that was either beautiful or moving or courageous or inspiring, or what that writer wrote that you really needed to hear. And that's all they can talk about. I mean, they can say something was funny. Oh, one other thing. Ask the writer, if there's something you heard that you want to hear again, ask the writer to read it again.
For everybody out there, you are being moved, and you are being inspired by Jackie Parker. So we're going to take a break, but in the meantime, everybody, take a deep breath. Take it in, take a deep breath, exhale slowly. If you're driving, keep your eyes open. And we're going to be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you. And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family, and our guest today is Jackie Parker. And Jackie is talking about this combination of deep breathing, and as well as then being able to sit down and to write what it is that you're thinking at that moment. Now, one of the things that I noticed as we were doing a little bit of background on you, Jackie, was that you once taught a class or a writing workshop to girls that were in opposing gangs, having all of them there at the same time. Tell us how that worked.
I think that was the most frightened I ever was, and I didn't realize how frightened I was till I walked into the room and I thought, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? It was the great surprise is the process that I've just talked about, breathing for 5 minutes, doing the 5 minute writing, and writing a topic, they did it right out of the box, like someone was waiting for this. But I did begin by talking about my own vulnerability, that I was often frightened, that I was often frightened when I had a pen in my hand, and that they could bring that fear, they could release that on the page. And I also talked about my failures as a writer, how it had taken me 10 years to write a novel. Could they imagine doing something for 10 years? And they all laughed and failing over and over again. And then I'd pick up the copy of Our Lady of Infidelity and hold it. I said, this took me 10 years of failure. Was it worth it? And they started laughing. So that was the beginning. And then the most surprising thing that happened was the topic that I chose was tell the story of a moment in your life in which you felt safe, which is often the topic that I begin a series of workshops with. The minute I said it and I handed it out, I realized I'd made a huge mistake, that some of these kids probably never felt safe for a moment in their lives. How on earth, what was wrong with me that I brought that topic in? But all the kids, all the girls started writing except for one. And I looked at her and I knew. And I went up to her and I said, is it the topic? And she nodded her head. And she said, I've never been safe in my life. Tears are flowing down her face. And I said, can you write about that? And she looked at me. And then I said, you can write about it. And she picked up her pen and she wrote and she wrote and she wrote. And the next part of the workshop, which is where the real community building begins, is when people share their stories. So here are a bunch of girls who would hate each other on the streets. They were already softened by everything that had happened. And so when I said, would anybody like to share their story? You know, we're going to only support you by telling you what we heard that was beautiful, moving, courageous, inspiring, or what you wrote that we really needed to hear. The girl who couldn't write the topic raised her hand. And she began to read. And of course, it was a story about being molested when she was 4. The other girls in the room, many of them started to cry in a quiet, tear-streaming way. The psychologist and the social worker who were there in the room also. It was a beautiful story. It was beautifully written. And she read it, and I think there were at least 4 girls in the room who said, I really needed to hear that. That was so courageous. You just told my story. After that happened, I had this tremendous feeling of peace about this process, because these girls ended up giving to each other in ways that none of us could have imagined, simply by feeling safe to tell their truth and be held. And it was, I think that was a program that went on for about a year. It was their first meeting, which was why the social worker called me in, because she'd seen what happens with this kind of writing before. I was really scared. I had no idea whether or not it was going to work. I think that was my most moving workshop, the one I'm really proudest of, and it's the same process.
Well, I know that we have many teachers that listen. I know of a couple of judges that have called me and said that they listen, as well as a couple of politicians, and I just hope that everybody out there is really listening to this, because there are so many things going on out there that if you can bring it to the table and get people talking about their experiences like this, we can get through so much. So again, I'm so thankful that you told that story, and while you were telling it, I sort of got a little different perspective in regards to when you were talking about your book. And as you were telling them, saying, you know, that here I failed for 10 years till I got this done, the perspective that I had was you were having an incredible journey for 10 years until you succeeded to put a book out that most people never actually do. So congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you. I feel like telling the story, you know, who wants to hear a writer's struggle? Every writer struggles, you know. But I like to use it because everybody struggles, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Whether it's a book or to get through, to make sense of your life, I think to understand that those feelings that we have are human and they happen with everybody. And so every time we can tell our story of getting past that, I think it empowers people, and that's the healing and empowerment part of this kind of writing. Kids who tackle subjects that they might think they're ashamed of that actually help other people and make them feel great because they've tackled it. This is the kind of work that we need, and I have done this in schools. And in fact, I am right in the middle of writing the book called The Power of Our Stories, and hoping that teachers will be able to use it, and that people who work with at-risk kids can use it to empower kids and help them, adults as well, through their journey.
And the beauty of what you're saying and the programs that you're, you know, that you've offered and that you run, you know, these aren't things that for school districts and for communities are big financial stresses. The ability to breathe, the ability to tell your story, these aren't economic stresses on a community. These are opportunities for schools and for families and communities to start utilizing these techniques, you know, in a way that can start today.
Yeah. Yeah, and for teachers too. I mean, teachers are so stressed. You know, teachers can start. If teachers start to do this within themselves, they will bring a different approach to their classrooms.
Well, exactly, right? because they'll be modeling it as well. It's more than just asking the kids to do it, but if you model it as well, I think that reinforces exactly the message that you wanted to give them.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, too. You know, writing is such a difficult thing to teach. And very often, if a teacher hasn't experienced this kind of writing, they bring a fear to the teaching of writing that shuts their kids down. So the more they can experience the process of it, the more they can bring, even just this kind of topic approach. Kids write so well when they're freed. You know, you have a writing block, because why? You think you can't do it well. If you can release that and start to focus on specifics and being present, all kinds of helpers come from your brain.
Jackie, what is it about writing, do you think, that really helps us grow as human beings?
That's such a wonderful question. First, I think it helps us tackle what we think of as taboo. The taboo subjects, whatever they are the subjects that writers take on. And usually those are our most human experiences, right? The things that make us feel vulnerable, the moments in which we fail. We love to watch a character go from a low point to some kind of transcendent moment. And it could be really small. So that's one. The act of writing helps us to take control over our experiences in a way that's really empowering. So kids that have the opportunity to write regularly, especially when they're writing through a process, and it's not just journaling, you know, that's why I'm really excited about The Power of Our Stories as a book, because I have thousands of topics. And once you get a sense of how to move through an event, you can really take all this confusing experience and turn it into something that's shaped and has meaning. And I think that is, I mean, that's what makes writers feel wonderful. You know, you have all this raw material, this chaos that you're dealing with, and finally you've made it make sense. And I think that we're always struggling with that just in life. How can I make sense of this? What's going on in my life? Writing gives us a really wonderful way to reflect on experience and to make sense out of it. So cognitively, it really helps us to grow. Is that a helpful answer?
Yeah, it's great. And we have a listener question coming in, Barbara in Seattle. So I think it's more of a statement, but I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
Loved your story that I read on the Answer site about the mothers and daughters. I was so inspired, I asked my teenage daughter to join me last weekend for a hike. Bought us our own journal to bring along as well. We sat on a cliff looking out over the ocean and wrote our stories. as we have shared them with each other, we started laughing and sharing so many things that obviously had been locked away in our hearts for a long time. We promised ourselves that each month we would find a day to do this. Thank you so much for sharing this experience. You can count on us among your students who got the message. Barbara.
That is so wonderful. That is, what a beautiful experience. I feel like I was sitting there with her.
Me too. What a beautiful image. Yeah, what an image. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, what a wonderful thing to do. That's true. That's, well, that's, again, that's the power of writing, right? You write something, and somebody else picks it up, and they take it into their lives, and it grows. Wonderful.
And the other thing, you know, when we were discussing you earlier before the show, Alan was telling me about the arts at UCLA, the arts and healing program that you taught called Let the Body Speak. What was that about?
Oh, that was really fun. I took, again, the same technique, but the people who sponsored it wanted it related to something physical. So I invented different exercises so that people were writing from their body. And there were people with chronic ailments. So one topic was, let your backache speak. What's the story of your backache? Where were you when this backache arose? And they wrote in the first person as if the ailment was speaking, and we got insights that floored us. So that just giving voice, again, it's giving voice to the hidden. The actual ailment could tell the person where it came from. I mean, I have no idea whether there is any scientific evidence that could back this up. And I've often really wished, because I've done work in hospitals, I've wished for some kind of studies that could show how writing about specific conditions can actually produce healing. And I'm not talking about miracle cures, you know, but things like lessening of tension in areas and lessening of symptoms, which is what people found in that class.
Well, Jackie, I think that you must have been reading my mind because my body was speaking to me on the way here, and it was saying, first of all, remember how old you are, and secondly, when you go away for 10 days and don't work out, you can't jump back in exactly where you were at.
Yeah.
Alan's body was speaking this morning.
Yes.
That's funny. Yeah, yeah. Well, whether or not we want the body to speak, the body is going to speak, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So have you worked with any other arts and healing programs?
I have. I've worked at several. I worked at a neurology clinic for people with Parkinson's disease and MS and brain trauma. And there were physicians in this group. They were all professionals who were just stopped in their lives by these conditions, and some of them were deeply depressed, as who wouldn't be?
Mm-hmm.
And through the writing and through the exchanges that happened, there was so much joy in that room that afterwards we would walk through the halls of the clinic, and I just felt like, can we just stay here? I mean, and people would say that the endorphins and the realizations and the sharing that came through them writing about their lives made them feel valued again. And I think one of the dangers with people who have chronic conditions, particularly those that take them out of life, is they lose all sense of value as human beings. And this 12-week program gave them the capacity to remember their own value, to share, and often they would write about their grandmothers as children. It wasn't that they were talking about any accomplishments, but what they brought to their stories had such meaning for the people in the room, and they were often beautiful. So, you know, as a writer, I so believe that creativity in itself is healing, and that any kind of community in which people are in pain, show me today any community in which people are not in pain,
right,
can benefit from this kind of permission to go inside, to find a story, and then to learn how to give it out, and also for those of us listening, to learn how to receive it in almost, and I don't want to be too woo about this, a sacred way. These are really, they're sacred exchanges. They yeah. come from deep within us, and when we receive them, that we're receiving from that deep place within us, which is really what community is, and healing. And it can be done anywhere, and it's so needed where people are physically suffering.
Yeah, and it almost is a kind of a back door into people's souls where you you get past a lot of defense layers, especially if you can get people in a room listening to each other. It's a beautiful thing, and your ability to work with young adults, gang members, people with chronic pain. I mean, it sounds like this is truly an effective intervention, treatment, / personal growth experience that really yeah. is really for anybody and everybody, like you said, who has a story, and we all have one.
We all have so many stories. That's the other thing. We have so many stories. We don't even know it. You know, you need a way to get at them. And that's really the joy for me. It is to be the facilitator for that. I mean, one of my favorite quotes is by Ralph Waldo Emerson, and he says, "Our chief want is someone who will inspire us to be what we know we could be."
Wow!
Isn't that beautiful?
That's beautiful.
It is
yeah.
beautiful. And you know, we have another really positive comment that is coming in. And again, for those of you out there that take the time to send these in, either before the show or during the show, we really appreciate it. This one reads, "I've been a blogger for 10 years now, and I feel so alive when I am sharing my experiences with others. I just mm-hmm. wanted to comment about how outstanding it is that you are encouraging others to write, especially the younger generations. I wish you the greatest success with your mm-hmm. workshops and all of your endeavors."
Lovely. Isn't that lovely? Yeah.
So, and I think that's a great point to bring up, because many people think of writing, we think of, you know, writing on paper, we think of sitting down and handwriting, but the yeah. reality of it is that in today's world, people blog, people are typing things in and sending it out, you know, out to, it could be through Facebook or through various social media outlets. So there's so many ways in which we can use writing as an outlet, and it's great that this person has found that blogging is what works for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is true, really. Our capacity to reach other people is amazing now, mm-hmm. isn't it? Yeah. You know, but my concern is about the people who are afraid to go into those places, you know, the kids who are suffering, the people who don't understand the value of their lives, veterans. Another group of people, and maybe because I'm the mother of sons, young boys who have to cut off from their vulnerability, from their inner lives, to become what they think of as men. My favorite group of writers, I call them the football poets. I was working in a high school once, and the football players, the guidance counselors were just genius. They would load this group up with boys that they thought really needed to express themselves. So I had all these football players, and I'm like, "Oh, I'm not going to write. What are you making me into? I hate this." And after a while, they would come running into the room, and they'd go, "Please don't talk to me. I have to write." And some of those boys became, I mean, their coach came in one day and really yelled at me. He said, "What are you doing to my guys?" You know, it was quite beautiful.
Well, and one of the things you could have told them is that by stimulating that other side of the brain, it probably helped them while they were performing whatever sport they were performing as well. So,
yeah. It also gave them a sense of being competent as writers, which is one of the delightful things that happens. They, you know, English is not a struggle anymore because they know they can write.
And Jackie, for those of the people listening and fans of yours out there who loved Our Lady of Infidelity or Love Letters to My Fans, the new book is due out when and what is the title?
Good question. It depends on how quickly I can make use of my own advice. We'll see. Hopefully within a year. That's my timetable for it, for the power of our stories.
So I'm 9 years faster than the other one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Oh, I'm afraid to say this, but no book is going to take me that long. Yeah.
So Jackie, we're almost out of time. For anybody that wants to get a hold of you, what is the best way? Is it through social media? Is it through your website? What is the best way for them to get
a
hold of you?
Yes, they can reach me through my website. And also, my website is jackieparker.co. And they can email me at jackie@jackieparker.co. I am on Facebook. Our Lady of Infidelity is on Facebook as well, for people who want to talk about that book. But my website is the best way.
Well, Jackie, I know that both of us, as I'm looking over at Matt, have thoroughly enjoyed talking with you. And we really want to acknowledge you for the great things that you're doing, and you're helping women, you're helping at-risk youth, just working with so many people to help them have a better life. So again, thank you so much for that. I wish that we had more time, but again, for anybody out there, go to her website, grab the book. I think you will really enjoy it. And for everybody out there also, be sure that you put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday when our guest will discuss his new book, Waging Inner Peace, Introducing Ancient Mind-Body Wellness Techniques.
And if you missed or you want to share our shows with your friends, please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com. You may also subscribe or resubmit your name to download your free copy of the Attitude of Gratitude Journal, your 21-day guide to achieving the quality of thankfulness through self-discovery.
And the next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page. Check out some of our latest posts, and if you like them, please like us and spread the word. For everybody out there, be good human beings, have a wonderful week, and be with us again next week for Answers for the Family.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.